Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Breaking news in Washington, a decision from the House of Representatives. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the conspiracy theorist, stripped of her committee assignments. Some House Republicans voting with Democrats. Impeachment surprise. House managers ask the former president to testify under oath, but he declines. Now, will he face a subpoena?
They have to break down COVID itself and analyze its genetic sequence.
Wielding science like a weapon to stay ahead of COVID mutations. Tonight, inside the lab where researchers are turning out new tests to detect and counter new variants. Plus, a Super Bowl like none other.
We're looking to create a full feel, an energetic feel, but do it safely.
Big changes to preserve the soul of the big game in a time of crisis. And good evening. The House of Representatives has spoken and minutes ago voted to remove the Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from all House committees. This comes after GOP leaders refused to strip her committee assignments themselves and punish her for past support of dangerous conspiracy theories, liking social media posts calling for political violence, harassing the Parkland survivor David Hogg, and much more. On the House floor, nearly a dozen Republicans broke ranks and joined the Democrats to kick Greene off the Education and Labor Committees. To drive home the point before the vote, the House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer held up a poster of one of Greene's Facebook posts. It shows her holding an AR-15-style assault rifle next to images of Democratic congresswomen with the headline, "The Squad's Worst Nightmare." Representative Greene took to the floor before the vote to defend herself while wearing a mask with "free speech" written on it. She did not specifically apologize for a single thing, but did say she regrets believing in conspiracy theories and insisted that's all behind her.
I never once said during my entire campaign, QAnon, I never once said any of the things that I am being accused of today during my campaign. I never said any of these things since I have been elected for Congress. These were words of the past.
CNBC's Eamon Javers now on tonight's top story. Eamon?
Yes, Shep, the final vote here was 230 to 199 in order to strip her from those committee assignments. Now, the interesting number that's going to have a lot of people in Washington buzzing over the next hours and days is that 11 Republicans voted with the Democrats here in order to strip her from the committee assignment. A lot of analysis now is going to go into who were those 11, what kind of districts did they come from, and what does that mean for the future of the Republican Party. But Democrats said today that they essentially were forced to do this because Republicans yesterday failed to take any action to punish Congresswoman Greene in a lengthy meeting that they had of the entire Republican conference. Today, on the House floor, Greene explained how she first became interested in the false QAnon conspiracy theory, effectively blaming Facebook and Google for feeding her more and more links to posts from people who were pushing this material.
The problem with that is, though, is I was allowed to believe things that weren't true, and I would ask questions about them and talk about them. And that is absolutely what I regret, because if it weren't for the Facebook post and comments that I liked in 2018, I wouldn't be standing here today and you couldn't point a finger and accuse me of anything wrong.
Liked postings on social media calling for the death of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and agreed with other posts alleging that prominent school shootings and the September 11th attacks had been staged. Now, Shep, it's not clear what role that she'll be able to play going forward in legislation now that she's not on the committee, but it is clear that Greene now, because of all of this attention, is one of the most prominent faces in Republican Party politics, and the party is now about to learn what she is going to do with that newfound power. Shep?
aiming a tale of two votes here, really. Last night's secret ballot to keep Liz Cheney as the conference chair, and then tonight's open vote on the floor on Marjorie Taylor Greene. What does this tell us about the state of the GOP right now?
Yeah, big difference between a secret ballot and a recorded vote, right? You're seeing here that there are a lot more members of the Republican conference who are willing to sort of defy the Republican hardcore base that likes Congresswoman Greene in many respects. They're willing to vote that way in private, not so willing to vote that way in public. But a lot of analysis now will be focused on these 11 members who did vote to strip her of the committee assignments and figure out exactly how they fit into the Republican conference going forward and what Greene's role is going to be after all of this hullabaloo, Shep.
Eamon Javers, thank you. The former president's legal team says he will not testify in next week's impeachment trial. The announcement after the House impeachment managers sent him a letter requesting his testimony under oath in the well of the Senate about the deadly Capitol riot that he's accused of inciting. They gave him the option to testify before or during the trial. The former president's impeachment defense team is calling the request a publicity stunt. House impeachment managers do not have the authority to subpoena the former president, but the Senate can compel him to testify with a simple majority vote. COVID Watch now. Johnson & Johnson just announced that it has filed an emergency use authorization for its vaccine. And if it's approved, this would be the third shot in the arsenal to battle COVID-19. Unlike the other two, this vaccine would require but one shot. It also only requires basic refrigeration and storage. And there's new data out today that shows some signs that the pandemic is slowing. Take a look at these numbers. Average daily COVID cases and hospitalizations both hit their lowest numbers since November. That's from the COVID Tracking Project. But now is not the time to let our guards down. According to the CDC, three highly contagious mutations of the virus have been detected in at least 33 states across America. Researchers say these variants could prolong the pandemic and possibly create another surge. On the vaccine front, the United Kingdom launched a new trial to test the safety and efficacy of taking shots from different vaccines. One dose from AstraZeneca, followed by one from Pfizer. Now, if that's effective, health experts say it could speed up the sluggish vaccine rollout. Dr. Celine Gounder now. She's an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist at NYU. Doctor, thank you. What do you make of mixing the shots? Is that a realistic solution to this vaccine distribution series of issues?
Sam, we're essentially seeing science play out in action here. Science, the scientific method, is about asking a question, saying, will this work? And testing it. And so instead of mixing and matching vaccines without science, without data, they are doing the right thing here of actually studying this and seeing if that will work.
Dr. Gounder, there is a dip in cases and hospitalizations as we reported. Why do you think that is?
Well, over Thanksgiving, over Christmas, over New Year's, people got together with family and friends. They did so, at least some of them, without masks, without social distancing, and indoors without good ventilation. And we saw a huge surge after Thanksgiving, after Christmas and New Year's related to that. We know that there is a lag time after infections occur before people get really sick, end up in the hospital, and later die. So it's really to be expected that about 6 to 8 weeks after holidays like this where people got together, that you would see a peak in your deaths, and then they would finally go down after that.
Dr. Gounder, the CDC continues to sound alarms about these new variants. There's a lot we don't know. Are you concerned that the improving numbers might give people a false sense that we've turned a corner on this fight against the virus?
I am concerned, Shepard. I think based on the modeling out of the CDC, the UK variant in particular is predicted to be the dominant variant in the US by March. And that's a time when you might have some families taking spring break. So you would have the additive effect of, again, a holiday where people might be socializing, not taking all the safety measures on top of this far more contagious variant. This is not the time to be letting our guards down. We really need to, until everybody who wants to get vaccinated can be vaccinated, we really do need to double down on the masking, the social distancing, all of the measures we've been talking about for months now.
Are there signs in any of these variants that suggest to you, doctor, that we could be in for another surge and a bigger one than we've ever seen if we're not really careful here?
This really depends on what we do. You know, I think of us as being sort of in a tug of war between us and the coronavirus. And yes, the vaccines are coming to our rescue to help pull on our side of the rope. But it's almost as if we're dropping the rope before the vaccines can make it to help us. You know, and what's problematic about these variants is that they're more contagious, they're more virulent, can cause more death. And some of them may even escape the immune response, whether it's natural or from the vaccine. So it's really important right now that we do everything possible to preserve the vaccines, to make sure they keep working. And that means preventing the spread of these new variants.
Dr. Celine Gounder, thank you so much. The CDC reports America has been scaling up its ability to detect these new COVID strains, but experts warn the country is still well behind where we should be. Remember, viruses mutate constantly, so staying ahead of them can be really difficult. Today, NBC's Steve Patterson got an inside look at a Stanford lab where researchers are developing new tests to identify these dangerous variants.
Yeah, Shepard, this is truly the new front line in the battle against COVID. These variants that are popping up all across the world are now top of mind for frontline healthcare workers, as well as researchers who are trying to do all they can to get ahead of this. What they're doing here at Stanford is to bulk up and to spool up the operation, hiring more workers, extending hours. They are focused on studying where these variants are coming from and why they're mutating. To do that, they have to take in a bulk load of COVID test samples. They're looking for those positive test samples, so people that have been infected with the variant or the virus. And what they can do, they've developed their own way to test for that variant. So they can tell if somebody is positive, they know whether or not it was spawned by one of those pervasive, more transmissible variants that are circulating out there. And what they do is they have to break down COVID itself and analyze its genetic sequence. So they're breaking it down almost at a cellular level in order to study it, to track it, and to alert the general public that it is happening. It is top of mind. It is the front mission for so many of these labs across the country, and something that the U.S. has been lagging far behind in, and now the effort from the CDC to try to do more and fight back. And the only way to do that is with more knowledge. Shepard?
Steve Patterson, thank you. One of the biggest consulting firms in all the world will pay nearly $600 million for its role in the opioid crisis. McKinsey and Company has reached an agreement with attorneys general in 47 states and territories. This settlement comes after documents revealed how the firm helped drive sales of Purdue Pharma's OxyContin. That's the drug the government claimed helped fuel the opioid crisis in this country in the first place. As part of the settlement, though, McKinsey does not admit to any wrongdoing. According to the National Institutes of Health, more than 243,000 Americans have died from prescription opioid overdoses since the year 2000. One piece of coronavirus relief that all scientists agree has to be tackled is the high rate of child poverty in the country. Three different solutions emerging now. First, President Biden's. It's included in his relief proposal. It expands the federal tax credit up to $3,600 per child every year. The administration says that would help cut child poverty in half. Senator Mitt Romney's response to that, another plan, one that gives households monthly cash payments up to $4,200 each year per child. And today, another new push for baby bonds from Senator Cory Booker and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. Under their plan, every child would get $1,000 at birth, then $2,000 a year in savings after that. CNBC's Ilan Moy now. Ilan, what would all of these different ideas mean for families?
Shep, the data is sobering. Columbia University projects that more than 13% of America's kids will be living in poverty this year unless Washington does something to help them. Now, President Biden's plan would send $3,000 a year to kids between the ages of 6 and 17. Children younger than 6 would get $3,600. Now, that's at least $1,000 more than parents can currently receive for their children. And the research shows that combined with the rest of his plan, that would lift 5 million children out of poverty. Now, today, Republican Senator Mitt Romney introduced a similar idea. He matches that $3,000 for school-aged children that's in Biden's plan, and he increases the amount for younger children to $4,200. The big difference is that he would cut other welfare programs to pay for this. Still, the White House signaled it's willing to hear Romney out.
We certainly welcome efforts or offers from our Republican friends for discussion and how we can improve the American Recovery Plan.
Now, meanwhile, some Democrats want to make the benefits for kids even bigger. Senator Cory Booker took to Instagram Live today to build support for those baby bonds and urge President Biden to get behind this idea.
We're clearly trying to deal with the challenges that we have with this pandemic. But we cannot stop talking about the income disparities in this nation that are growing so much worse.
Now, Shep, this is one area where lawmakers are willing to cross the aisle, whether it's for this deal or for the next piece of legislation.
Ilan, thank you. Unarmed, gunned down. Tonight, the wheels of justice turn for the man killed while holding his phone.
We have the indictment, and we need to carry this further.
Relieved but not satisfied, the family of Andre Hill speaks out. Extremism in the ranks of the armed forces. The defense secretary ordering a stand down across every branch of the military to focus on the threat. Vaccination oversharing. Sure, it's exciting, but tonight a warning. Keep your card in your wallet and off your social media. How very COVID era identity thieves are gaming the system.
The facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith, back in 60 seconds.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. And they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.
Former police officer charged with killing a black man in Columbus, Ohio, set to be arraigned tomorrow. A grand jury indicted Officer Adam Coy yesterday, charged him with murder, felonious assault, and two counts of dereliction of duty. This is the man he killed, Andre Hill, 47 years old, a father and grandfather. The shooting happened back in December. Officer Coy responding to a call about an engine turning on and off. Body cam video shows Hill walking out of a garage holding a cell phone, and seconds later, it shows the officer shoot him. Coy says he thought Hill was holding a gun, but no weapon was ever found. Coy's attorney says his client will plead not guilty. NBC's Ron Allen now. Ron, what was the reaction today from Andre Hill's family?
Well, they were relieved that the grand jury indicted the officer for murder. They know how rare that is, but they're also aware of how difficult it will be to get a conviction. The former officer's attorney was also speaking out, saying that the videotape does not tell the entire story of what happened. He claims that there was some sort of interaction between the two men before the tape starts rolling, but he didn't give any details. He says that the officer, for whatever reasons, was convinced that that Hill had a gun in his hands as well as that cell phone that we see in the video. Hill did not have a weapon. We know that from the investigation. And his family is reacting, hopeful that they can get a conviction, but they know, again, it's going to be a difficult thing. Here's what they had to say today.
This is not the end. We're here for the long run, however long it takes. My brother, we owe him that. So we're here for the long run, and I don't want him to have died in vain.
I just hope at the end of the day that if you indict it with four, you convict with four. Charges overall.
The four charges are murder, assault, and two for dereliction of duty, including one for failure to turn on the body camera before the shooting happened. He turned it on afterwards, of course, as we know. And the officer will be in court again tomorrow, will be in court tomorrow for the first time. The family is also still angry, the Hill family, that he was handcuffed and left without getting any medical attention for at least 5 minutes, they say. They say it could be as long as 15 minutes. They think he may have survived had he gotten help. Shep, back to you.
Ron Allen, thank you. Prosecutors in Kenosha, Wisconsin want to arrest Kyle Rittenhouse again. But there is a problem. They do not know where he is. Rittenhouse is the teenager charged with killing two people during a police protest last year. Remember this? He's out on bond now and has claimed self-defense. But prosecutors say he violated his release agreement when he moved and didn't tell the court where he moved. Now they've asked a judge for a new arrest warrant. Rittenhouse's lawyer is objecting. He told the court his client was moved to a safe house for security reasons. The lawyer says he isn't disclosing the address because prosecutors will not agree to keep it private. The judge has yet to rule on the motions. Taylor Swift sued by a theme park and a fried chicken heist caught on camera on a CNBC trip coast to coast. California. The hunt is on for a robber armed with a gun and a bag of Roscoe's chicken and waffles. Police say the man got into a confrontation with employees at the restaurant in Pasadena because he refused to wear a mask. Surveillance video shows him storming the kitchen with a gun in his hand.
He pointed the gun at the cook, went in the kitchen and told the cook, put the chicken in the bag.
The manager says when the cook froze, the man decided to help himself. He grabbed the food and walked out. Texas. A good deed goes a long way. At Linda Tutt High School outside Dallas, it can get you free groceries. Instead of cash, items are priced in points. The school assigns points based on the student's family size. And students can boost their buying power with good deeds like volunteering or mentoring young kids. Utah. A fantasy theme park going after Taylor Swift for allegedly ripping off their name. Evermore Park is suing the pop star for trademark infringement. Her ninth studio album is also named Evermore. The park says Taylor is confusing people and drowning out their presence online. They want $2 million in damages. Attorneys for Swift call the claims baseless. It seems the bad blood will continue for now on this CNBC trip. Coast to coast. Merck's longtime CEO is stepping down. Ken Frazier retiring at the end of June after 30 years with the company. You know, most chief executive changes really aren't newsworthy or noteworthy, but this one is different. Frazier's departure will leave only three black CEOs at Fortune 500 companies in America. During his tenure, Merck became a leader in the emerging field of cancer immunotherapy. But Frazier's impact extends far beyond the boardroom. In recent years, he became an agent for change. Frazier was the first to leave the former president's advisory councils. That decision in response to President Trump's refusal to condemn white supremacists in Charlottesville. Other corporate leaders soon followed his lead. After the death of George Floyd, Frazier was moved to speak out. He appeared here on CNBC. The interview was a real moment amid the crisis, as he spoke about his experience and the educational opportunity that he was given.
I get to sit on CNBC and have this conversation with you because of one fundamental reason, and that was when I was growing up in the inner city of Philadelphia, the social engineers in Philadelphia, at the time when Dr. King was leading the protest in the 1960s, for reasons I don't yet understand, decided to take a few inner city black kids, put them on a bus, make them ride 90 minutes to different schools to get a rigorous education. My class had 1,400 kids in it. There were 9 African-American kids. I know for sure that what put my life on a different trajectory was that someone intervened to give me an opportunity to close that opportunity gap. And that opportunity gap is still there.
Frazier recently became the co-chair of the 110 initiative. The program pledges $100 million to hire 1 million black workers over the next decade. Our Meg Terrell spoke to Frazier after today's announcement, and he told her he has no plans to run for public office. His focus, he says, will be on equity, justice, and education. All of the vaccines in the world are really not much use if we can't get them in as many arms as possible. Tonight, jacking up the numbers with national megasites, including a 16-lane monster in Texas, and oversharing on social media, never a good thing, especially when it's about your COVID vaccine card. Tonight, the new warning.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
The voting software company Smartmatic is suing Fox Corporation, the parent of Fox News, for $2.7 billion, accusing the network and three of its hosts of pushing bogus election conspiracies that they knew were not true. The lawsuit also names the former president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and legal associate, Sidney Powell. They all stand accused of spinning a fake tale with zero evidence that Smartmatic's voting technology was somehow compromised and to blame for the former president's election loss. The defamation lawsuit filed today in Manhattan states, without any true villain, defendants invented one. Defendants decided to make Smartmatic the villain in their story. We reached out to Fox News and they responded. Fox News Media is committed to providing the full context of every story with in-depth reporting and clear opinion. We are proud of our 2020 election coverage and will vigorously defend this meritless lawsuit in court. The global microchip shortage puts the brakes on America's best-selling vehicle. That's what's topping CNBC's On the Money. Ford announcing it's cutting production on its popular and profitable F-150 pickup trucks. The reason? They don't have enough semiconductors. They're used in everything from navigation systems to power steering. The cutback's happening at Ford's plants in Michigan and Missouri. GameStop shares dropped 42% to just less than $54 today, even as Robinhood lifted some of its trading limits. The plunge chopped more than $30 billion off the company's market value. Last month, that Reddit-fueled craze drove the video game stock up nearly 3,000%. And Family Dollar tapping Instacart to make same-day deliveries. Executives say customers will be able to order online from one of their 6,000 locations. Instacart promises to deliver items to homes in as fast as 1 hour. Last month, Instacart announced it planned to cut about 1,900 jobs as some retailers trained their own employees to pack online orders. On Wall Street, stocks jumped, rallying for a third straight day. A 1%er it was. The Dow up 332, S&P up 42, the NASDAQ up 167. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour, time for the top of the news. From stadiums to fairgrounds to school gyms and theme parks, states and cities across our nation are opening vaccine megasites to get shots into arms as quickly as possible. L.A. County has already set up 6 mass vaccination sites. Officials say the one at Dodger Stadium could vaccinate up to 12,000 people a day once it's fully up and running. Starting tomorrow, some New Yorkers will be able to get a shot at Yankee Stadium. Governor Cuomo says 15,000 appointments will be available during the first week. And a new 16-lane vaccination site just opened at Texas Motor Speedway. County officials say they're aiming to vaccinate around 10,000 people a day, 3 days a week. NBC's Morgan Chesky is there.
What's most impressive about this massive vaccination facility is its efficiency. The organizers here tell me that they're averaging about 22 minutes from the moment a person drives up and is checked in at the tents behind me to the point where they pull up to this tent where they encounter volunteers that have come in from all across the area to receive those vaccinations from both Moderna and Pfizer. And then most importantly, they pull up just beyond this tent and park and wait for 15 minutes to make sure there are no adverse side effects. The president of the Texas Motor Speedway says this is the perfect facility to pull off this massive operation.
We're in the business of people, moving cars, moving traffic, getting people here, things of that nature. So this to us is actually kind of a smaller event than what we normally do.
As impressive as this massive operation is, this is how desperate these Texans need the vaccine. Right now, Shep, there is a wait list of more than 200,000 people just to come to this one location. I talked to the organizers. They say that if they got more doses from the state of Texas, this is still a scalable operation, and they could give even more people those shots. It all depends, though, on that much-needed vaccine. Shep?
Morgan, thanks. No matter how excited you are to tell everybody, I got a vaccine, don't post your vaccine card on social media, please. That's the new warning from the Better Business Bureau. It's urging people to stop sharing pictures of their cards because scammers can target them to steal their personal information. Things like your name and date of birth can be used to steal your identity. CNBC's Rahel Solomon now. Rahel, there's also concern that scammers could use the cards to make some fake ones.
And, Jeff, that's already happening abroad. The Better Business Bureau says it's only a matter of time before similar cons come to the U.S. and Canada. The Sun paper in England reporting that it was able to buy a vaccination card on eBay for less than £2. Description also mentioned that 10% of sales would be going to NHS charities. The charity, by the way, saying it has no idea who these bad actors are and is not associated in any way. The excitement around the vaccine and questions about whether vaccination will be required in the future to travel freely, well, now creating a sort of black market for the cards. In the meantime, eBay says it has removed the postings. So what do you do if you want to safely share with your friends and family and, of course, your followers that you've gotten a COVID vaccine? Well, the BBB says instead of posting your card, maybe post a selfie at the site with no personal information exposed, or should perhaps use one of these fun Instagram stickers.
Rahel, thank you. An order from the top. The Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin telling all branches of the armed forces, take the time and figure out the extent to which extremism has tainted the U.S. military. Resetting America's posture abroad. The president delivers his first major foreign policy speech with a message for diplomats and allies. And the NFL, one game away from doing what many thought wasn't even possible, a complete season during the height of a pandemic. So how'd they do that? Next, a look at what we can all learn from the NFL playbook. President Biden today announcing sweeping changes to America's foreign policy, reversing the previous administration's agenda. In his first major speech at the State Department today, the president said he'll work to rebuild alliances around the world that he says were neglected and abused by the previous administration.
America is back. America is back. Diplomacy is back at the center of our foreign policy. America cannot afford to be absent any longer on the world stage.
President Biden announced that he'll be cutting off all U.S. support and weapons for the Saudi-led war against rebels in Yemen. The president says that conflict has created a humanitarian and strategic catastrophe. In another major move, President Biden says he's freezing the removal of U.S. troops from Germany. CNBC's Kayla Tausche now on today's foreign policy announcement. Kayla?
Shep, President Biden outlined a foreign policy approach to team up with allies to take on adversaries. The U.S. is undergoing a wholesale review of relations with China, Russia, North Korea, and even Saudi Arabia, reshaping the U.S. military footprint, a review of which is likely to conclude near the administration's 100-day mark, according to a close advisor, raising the number of refugees allowed into the United States and attempting to reclaim moral authority on democracy with harsh words and call for sanctions on Myanmar's military. As the White House refashions its outward approach, though, President Biden today says the main priority is reinvesting in the U.S.
We will compete from a position of strength by building back better at home, working with our allies and partners, renewing our role in international institutions, and reclaiming our credibility and moral authority.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who co-authored a 70-page report seen as the unofficial Biden doctrine, calls it foreign policy for the middle class.
Everything we do in our foreign policy and national security will be measured by a basic metric. Is it going to make life better, safer, and easier for working families?
To that end, an administration official confirms the White House will launch a comprehensive review of supply chains to reduce reliance on overseas production. It's just one of the many elements of the domestic part of the policy, Shep, that does evoke a little bit of former President Trump's America First approach, though Sullivan warns against protectionist impulses. Shep?
Kayla Tausche, thank you. Another big military change, this one internal. The Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, ordering a service-wide stand-down for the next 60 days. The goal? Give military leaders the chance to address extremism in the ranks. This comes after the Pentagon was surprised to find veterans and active-duty service members among the Capitol rioters last month. Leo Shane now. He's deputy editor of the Military Times. Leo, thanks for coming. How big of an issue is extremism in the ranks? Do we know?
Well, that's the real question here. The military hasn't done any really good surveys up to this point to find out just how many folks might be affiliated. Our paper has done one for the last 4 years among our readers. We've seen that about a third of all service members and about half of all minority service members report seeing some signs of extremism, white supremacy. But the military has said they think that's high, but they can't really refute it because they've never looked at the numbers before. So this 60 days should be a chance for them to really assess that and get a sense of whether or not we're right, which we think we are, or whether or not they're right, and it's a very small problem.
Well, based on your reporting at the Military Times, is extremism in the military new? Has it always been an issue? Is it growing?
Yeah, this has been an issue for quite some time, and we know that especially white nationalist groups, extremist groups, like to recruit military folks because of the skills they bring. They bring proficiency in firearms. They bring planning skills. They bring military assault skills. So these are kind of desirable things if you have these crazy ideas of waging a revolution. So we know they're targeted. We know they can be susceptible. We've seen for years they're targeted on social media, fed false information. Now the question is whether or not the Pentagon can really get a sense of how to get to these actors, how to make sure that they're not recruiting them, how to make sure their people aren't being recruited, and just how to react to the problem and make it so that they're safe and that they don't see what we saw on January 6th, which was quite a few veterans involved in that riot.
So, Leo, today, the stand down order. Do we know exactly what stand down means, and will there be disciplinary action possibly or no?
We don't know yet. We heard from Pentagon spokesman John Kirby yesterday that this is not just going to be a talking to by military commanders to the lower ranks. But we don't know exactly what the deliverables are at this point. We're expecting some more guidance. You know, that's going to be key here. Is this just going to be some talk at the top and some senior leaders discussing things with each other? Or are they going to get down to, you know, the individual units, really get down to the lower ranks where we're hearing from folks, yeah, we're seeing signs of tattoos. We're seeing stuff posted on social media that indicates that folks are affiliated with these violent groups. In some cases, there's even Nazi symbolism, Nazi flags or Nazi paraphernalia that folks are showing. But that's not seen by commanders all the time. That's kept hidden and kept in smaller groups. So it'll be interesting to see over the next 60 days whether or not they can really root down to that problem.
Leo Shane from the Military Times. Leo, thank you. A major tennis tournament now up in the air and an authoritarian government takes control as we go round the world in 80 seconds. Myanmar. State television airing footage of the country's new leader holding a meeting with officials days after the military seized power in a coup and detained the country's democratically elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. The military announced it would take power for 1 year after accusing Suu Kyi's government of not investigating allegations of voter fraud. Her party swept the vote and the military-backed party did poorly. Last night, demonstrators again banged pots and pans in protest of the military coup. India. All eyes on the sky for this international air show. It's the first one held since the coronavirus outbreak. Visitors were able to catch a rare glimpse of a U.S. Air Force supersonic heavy bomber, plus other choppers and military aircraft dancing in the sky. Everybody there had to show their negative COVID test results. Australia. More than 500 players, officials, and support staff with the Australian Open forced to self-isolate. A worker at one of the quarantine hotels tested positive for COVID. The tennis championship, set to begin in 4 days. The draw for the tournament has now been postponed to Friday while more people are tested. 909 people in total have died from the virus in Australia. By comparison, the CDC reports more than 1,100 people die of COVID every day in the United States. And that's our trip around the world in 80 seconds. Two teams will play football in a stadium. Other than that, the Super Bowl is looking totally different this year. Cardboard cutouts, socially distant pods, and tens of thousands of empty seats. All the changes you'll see Sunday coming. Plus, most people stay inside during a major storm, right? 10-year-old Christian Stone is not most people. His heartwarming act of kindness is next. The Northeast hit with a major snowstorm you probably heard earlier this week. Most in its path likely shoveling snow or hiding indoors under a pile of blankets. But in Rhode Island, 10-year-old Christian Stone headed over to Westerly Hospital to help those who were helping others. Local reporting now from NBC station WJAR and their reporter Sam Reed.
While many people were indoors during the height of the storm, 10-year-old Christian Stone and his mom's friend Abby Meeker braved the bitter cold.
We're brushing, cleaning off the snow from the cars of the nurses and stuff.
Monday afternoon, the pair took on the parking lot of the Westerly Hospital.
So we probably did 20 here, 30 there, and another 20 until we called it quits.
Removing unwanted snow from the cars of essential employees so that while they took care of people inside, when they were done with their shift, they were also taken care of.
We want them to be able to go home with their, see their family after a long day of work, you know?
Christian came up with this idea after the last snowstorm.
I was just thinking, like, they help us a lot. They've been helping us a lot through this whole pandemic, and I figured, why don't we help them?
Abby agreed to help.
It sucked. I hate the snow, but being out here with him, because this is what he was passionate about, I did it because he wanted to do it.
While the winds were whipping in Westerly and the snow continued to fall, the gesture ever appreciated by dozens of people.
Some of them say, like, thank you so much, and, you know, it's just really happy to see them happy.
For the news, I'm Sam Reed.
Sam, thank you, and thanks to them. The NFL is just one game away now from playing an entire season through a pandemic, but the league's still focused on other health issues, including concussions. The NFL reports those dropped by 5% in 2020. It marks three straight years in which the number of concussions has decreased. A league executive insists this is just progress, not success. On the COVID front, the NFL's chief medical officer says masks were the key element in preventing the virus from spreading all across the league. Keep in mind, several teams did report outbreaks over the course of the season, but overall, the league's positivity rate has remained very low, even while testing players and staff every day. The NFL and CDC released a report last week showing how the league worked through the pandemic. Officials say they're hoping the public will take a page out of the NFL's playbook and mask up. The big game now just 3 days away, but already making history, not just because it's the first time a team will play in its home stadium, but also because nearly a third of the seats are going to vaccinated healthcare workers. This is the moment that Nashville ICU nurse and football superfan Sharon Alvarez was surprised with a free ticket to Super Bowl 55.
I was totally oblivious, which I think you can see in the video.
Sharon is one of 7,500 frontline workers getting a big thank you from the NFL, the league reserving one-third of seating for healthcare professionals who got the vaccine.
I am very proud to be representing healthcare workers all over the country during this pandemic.
They have been the heroes through this period and will continue to be.
The NFL's Peter O'Reilly giving us a preview of how this year's Super Bowl will be like none other.
This is a different Super Bowl, and health and safety drives everything.
Crews working round the clock to get Tampa's Raymond James Stadium COVID ready before kickoff on Sunday. The stadium typically holds about 65,000 people. COVID protocols decreasing capacity to just 25,000. Fans are to sit in groups of 4, 6, or 8 in socially distanced pods. Empty seats will hold fan cutouts from youth football players to veterans.
We're looking to create a full feel, an energetic feel, but do it safely.
Officials are to distribute KN95 masks to everyone who enters. Also new this year, mobile-only digital tickets, plus touchless payments at the concession stands. And at the bathrooms, they've all been converted to touchless faucets. Then there's the pregame ceremony special guest, 22-year-old Amanda Gorman, the poet laureate from President Biden's inauguration.
We approached her to find the words to honor our honorary captains, who are three incredible helpers, a veteran, a great educator, and a COVID ICU nurse down here in Tampa. It's going to be really special.
But for ICU nurse Sharon Alvarez, who was the first in her hospital to get the vaccine, this year's Super Bowl is much more than a football game.
It's hope. It represents hope for all of us.
Now, high hopes for legalizing marijuana. So far, more than a dozen states are on board with cannabis for adults, and now new legislation might just pass that around to the rest of the country. Congressional Democrats are calling on President Biden to use executive power to wipe out some federal student loan debt. The lawmakers introduced a measure that would have him cancel as much as $50,000 per borrower. In addition, payments would be suspended for the remainder of this pandemic, and it would give the education secretary legal power to forgive debt. The White House press secretary Jen Psaki tweeted that the president supports the canceling of student debt. She added that a team is reviewing whether he can do so through executive action. The legalized marijuana movement set to get its biggest push yet. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowing to have the Senate take up a pass of the bill to end the federal ban on cannabis. So far, weed's fully legal in 15 U.S. states and the district, both for medicinal and recreational use. And it's already big business. According to a financial firm, the cannabis industry is projected to hit $24 billion in legal sales this year. CBC's Frank Holland now on the impact. Right. Frank?
Shep, industry leaders say it would also lead to an explosion of job creation, real estate development, and just a better experience for users. And according to data from Leafly, given exclusively to CNBC ahead of their annual report, cannabis created around 70,000 jobs in 2020, more than double the amount in 2019. Legalization would also bring in more tax revenue. In California, for example, the biggest legal cannabis market in the entire world, it's estimated cannabis will generate $1 billion in taxes. In 2019, $635 million was generated from cannabis. And of course, people often buy cannabis-related products that are also taxed, whether it's papers, a bong, even a lighter. Those sales, about $18 billion in 2020. But this, of course, isn't just an economic discussion. Many people have moral or health objections. I also spoke to a police chief in one major city who says more than half of 911 calls that involve violence are related to marijuana. Another issue? Current laws disproportionately impact Black and Latino community members. The governor of New Jersey saying that Black residents are 3.5 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana than white residents. So certainly this is a multi-sided debate. But here's the one thing we know. Investors see the potential in legal cannabis. GameStop, of course, has been all over the news. But if you would have invested in Tilray, a Canadian cannabis company, at the start of the year, you would have tripled your money in a much more stable investment. Many other pot stocks also seeing huge gains. Shep?
Frank Holland, thank you. Her handwritten computations were key in helping the United States achieve manned spaceflight back in the 1960s. Now, the NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson is being honored during Black History Month with a spacecraft in her name. Northrop Grumman announced it's naming its latest supply craft after Johnson, who time and time again broke through barriers of race and gender. From her segregated office, Johnson and her team did the trajectory analysis for the early Freedom 7 and Friendship 7 missions. Their story told in the movie Hidden Figures. The SS Katherine Johnson set to launch next month on a resupply mission to the International Space Station. 60 seconds left on a race to the finish. The House voting to remove the Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from all committees. 11 Republicans broke ranks and joined Democrats after GOP leaders refused to punish Representative Greene on their own for past support of conspiracy theories, harassing a school shooting survivor, and much more. Johnson & Johnson asking the FDA to authorize its COVID vaccine. The company's researchers say the single-shot vaccine could play a pivotal role in ending the pandemic. And the former president's impeachment defense team says he will not testify voluntarily at next week's trial. The announcement after House impeachment managers requested his testimony under oath about the deadly Capitol riot he's accused of inciting. And now you know the news. Of this Thursday, February the 4th, 2021, I'm Shepard Smith. Follow us on Twitter at The News on CNBC. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.